This is Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. Documentary filmmaker Charlie Min released his film 49 Pulses about the Pulse nightclub shooting in 2018, 2 years after the tragedy. The film is available on Amazon Prime, and this Friday it'll be re-released at the Fashion Square Mall. Min also directed a movie about the Parkland school shooting. He stopped by WMFE along with Pulse survivor Orlando Torres to talk about his mission with these movies and his hope they will elevate the stories of the victims and survivors of mass shootings and help bring about change. So, Charlie, you made this documentary, 49 Pulses, fairly soon after the shooting, right? So you've had a little bit of time to reflect on the impact of that movie. What have you seen? Like, what have people told you about it?
Well, it's so heartbreaking, Matt. I mean, we obviously have a problem in our society today of innocent people being murdered. If anything, it's gotten worse since the Pulse nightclub shooting. At the time, it was the largest mass shooting in American history. And then what happens about a year and a half later, well, Las Vegas happens. Almost 500 people were shot in that. So just when you think it couldn't get worse in Orlando, it got almost five times worse in terms of number of people shot in Las Vegas. So, and these are tourist towns, too, that are taking hits, like Orlando, Las Vegas. This was a hate crime against gay Hispanics. We should never, ever forget that. So a documentary is an excellent platform to inform, educate, raise awareness for change, to remind people of what happened. So I thought re-releasing the film tomorrow at Fashion Square Mall in Orlando for a minimum 1 week run was appropriate because of the landmark 5 year anniversary coming up this Saturday.
Orlando, is it difficult to watch something like this again? I mean, you kind of have your own process of dealing with the aftermath of the shooting, but to sort of seeing a documentary and kind of seeing that all laid out, is that tricky?
Yeah, well, the first time I saw it, it was emotional for me to see, and then hearing, because I wasn't there to see the interviews of the other survivors, and being at the theater, seeing their stories was, you know, heartfelt and sad to hear what they went through besides my story. So, yeah, but seeing it this time around, you know, I'd be a little bit more emotionally prepared, and not, I'm sure I'll still break down and see it again, because I'm looking forward to seeing it again and hopefully bring friends that have not seen it, so to make an awareness, you know, of what the stories of what survivors went through.
Charlie, thinking about some of the purpose of the movie and yourself as a filmmaker tackling this subject, do you feel like you're making these movies for an audience that's stateside, or are you kind of trying to like shine a light on what's happening here for people elsewhere? Like who are you reaching out to?
I would say mainly Americans are my target audience.
Yeah.
And then certainly if anyone else sees it outside of the United States, I'm certainly all for it. Because at the end, documentaries are meant to inform, educate, and raise awareness to any human being.
Yeah.
Hopefully for change.
Orlando, what do you think about the power of documentary films or other media to kind of bring about change? Do you feel like it can make an impact?
Well, we hope, like you say, awareness, be vigilant out there. It's educating. It's just like they're trying to do the museum. So that it's not forgotten for what happened June 12, 2016. It's bringing awareness, you know, because in time, things fade away. They don't get, you know, they're new babies, new generations, and, you know, and they're unaware of what transpired back then. So it's good to have these documentaries or museums, and to show awareness so for people can be vigilant on that it could happen any day, any time. So it's just educating people.
What has the response been, not just to this movie, from the community, like for 49 Pulses in Orlando? What kind of response has there been? And then thinking about the documentary you made about Parkland, what was the response from that community?
Yeah, I mean, I can only speak, Matt, about when the movie just came out, since I'm not local and I live in New York. But nationally, you know, thank God with Amazon Prime, you can read all the comments.
So there's a blessing and a curse, I'm sure.
Well, at the end, you want a reaction. At the end, you know, any reaction is better than no reaction. So for the Pulse film, for the Parkland film, there's quite a few comments for both. For the most part, it's positive. The Parkland film actually got more positive reviews, and it's all there. I mean, I try to be as transparent as possible, and I'm certainly not shy. You know, I'm out there, I'm hustling, I'm independent, I'm trying to get the word out.
There was quite a different response, I think, to Pulse and to Parkland, right? I mean, legislatively, the movement that arose out of Parkland, I think things were quite different from what happened after Pulse.
Especially Parkland. I mean, those kids became activists.
Mm-hmm.
Those high school kids from Stoneman Douglas High School.
Yeah.
I mean, we all knew who these kids were out of nowhere. And they were like 16, 17 years old trying to make change. And good for them. You know, I think these kids today that are that age, they're not the future anymore. They're the present. And I say that because they are exactly the wheelhouse of social media. I mean, they know more than most adults today because they live on their phones. They're getting their news instantaneously. And that's the trend today. And I think, if anything, it's getting louder and more aggressive in that direction.
Hmm. Orlando, I wonder what your thoughts are as a survivor of the Pulse shooting, kind of reflecting on what happened after Parkland and seeing the media response to that, and also you know, some of the political response to that as well.
Yeah, well, you got to understand that these weapons do not have a age requirement on who they're used on.
Hmm.
And who would ever think, who would have the heart to, you know, innocent young kids that are in school? It was just a mind-blowing thing after Pulse, you know, this happened with Parkland. I mean, I'm sure, yeah, it has happened with other, with Columbine, yeah. But like I said, but the type of weapons are being used, these weapons are takes out more lives faster. Mm-hmm. Doesn't give enough time for response and getting enough help there. And it does a lot more damage. And it's hard to stop someone with a weapon like that. When a cop responds, I know they have to do their duty, but their little 6-12-shot gun compared to a AR-15 or AK-47, you know, it'll cut them down. So it shouldn't be in the average citizen's hands. These are assault weapons that is for military, not in the average citizen's hands to be sold.
And don't forget, we had another mass shooting in between Pulse and Parkland. And that was the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting.
Right.
January 2017 at the baggage claim.
Yeah.
I mean, we have reached a new low, Matt, in America, where it could happen literally anywhere. I mean, this happened at an airport where people supposedly get checked.
Mm-hmm. And when he mentioned the Fort Lauderdale, that's when it pushed me to finally get my concealed weapons permit. I said, this is getting crazy. You're not safe anywhere.
Mm.
So when that happened with Fort Lauderdale at the baggage claim, yeah, I had my concealed weapons years ago. But things wasn't happening drastically. I let it expire. Now that what I went through and what I continuously see, I decided to renew my concealed weapons permit because I just don't want to get caught in the middle out there innocently. Like I say, it could happen at Walmart, as you see it happens many times.
El Paso,
you
know? Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah, or church, or, you know, anywhere. It's just, you're not safe.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Charlie, you mentioned before that you're not shy when it comes to promoting your movies, but also, you know, the topics you're tackling are tough subjects, right? How do you approach survivors? Because that has got to be a tricky part of the equation.
Absolutely. You have to show the utmost respect. You have to be very sensitive to their feelings, show tremendous empathy, understand what they went through and what they're still going through. A lot of them go through PTSD, and they're living with it every single day. They wake up with it, sleep with it, you name it. It's on their mind every day. And I feel for them, especially young victims, because they have to live with it longer.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, very, very difficult topics, and I meet these topics head on. I mean, I ask very tough questions. I'll admit I'm tough on law enforcement. I'm not anti-police. I'm anti-injustice.
Orlando, what's it like for you being approached by people, whether it's to make a documentary, whether it's to give television or radio interviews? Like, can that be a little bit of a process for you to kind of get ready for that?
Well, I'm already used to it, first of all. Second of all, you know, God gave me that second chance in life. And the ones that, very close friends that I've lost, are not here to voice. So
mm-hmm.
I took upon myself to represent and be the voice. And you know, to be there and support without asking for anything in return, just being the voice for the 49. And the 53 others that were physically injured, many of them don't like interviews. They don't, you know, to each his own. I get many people that make fun of me and say, no, he's not a known promoter. He's doing it so he can be known as a promoter. No, I did not want this, you know, at all.
Hmm.
I'd rather give all this back for interviewing if this would stop from this ever happening, but it did. I put 3.5 hours of my time in there. 4 times my life flashed in front of me. So I have a right to honor any interviews, anything that can educate people and be in awareness and show to be vigilant out there in today's world, unfortunately.
Charlie, so what happens with the movie from here on out? It's a limited run, I imagine, with the 49 Pulses and this re-release?
Well, the movie's been on Amazon Prime for a few years now. Yeah. And I just want to re-release it at the theaters to honor the victims and in case people didn't see it the first time around or they haven't seen it on streaming yet. People just like going to the movies and the big screen effect. And
it's been a while since people have been able to do that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think slowly people are starting to go back to the movie theaters. They're starting to trust that they're not going to get it after maybe getting the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So I do notice the things opening up now, which is good. I mean, I think we all have to find our normal life that we used to have,
right.
Whatever that normal is for people. And I think one of the theaters is such a way to escape, if mm-hmm. you will. And in my case, documentaries inform, educate, raise awareness. I could hear myself saying that in my sleep.
Charlie Min, documentary filmmaker. The movie is 49 Pulses. Thank you so much for joining us again.
You're welcome.
And Orlando Torres, survivor of the Pulse nightclub shooting. Thank you so much.
As always, my pleasure. And just be careful and God bless you all out there.
Support for Intersection comes from Advent Health and from our listeners. Production assistance for this week's show from Amy Green and Abe Abariah. Our intern is Brittany Caldwell. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on the NPR One app. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.